It's the Sharks against the Jets as Tea Party Republicans battle with Republican establishment over what to do to cut the budget. Here to discuss are my freedom fighters, my Fox Business Network reporter and colleague, Chris Cotter, Democratic strategist Tara Dowdell, and Reason Magazine senior editor Catherine Mangu Ward. Chris, to you first. Let's see. Some of the Republicans want to cut the president's budget by $38 billion. Mm-hmm. Some want to cut it by $100 billion. Senator Rand Paul wants to cut it by $500 billion. Yep. Even if Senator Paul gets his way, it's still a trillion in the hole that has to be borrowed. Well, where do you see this going?
Well, that's my biggest point, is that, look, we're talking about, we're fighting over $38 billion, $50 billion, $78 billion. If we can't agree on $100 billion this year, how are we ever going to get to the point where we're agreeing on $1 trillion? Even if that's $1 trillion where we work to over 5 to 10 years, how are we ever going to get to the point after this last election we had that we can cut $1 trillion out?
Catherine, are you surprised that the Republicans are even willing to talk about cuts of this magnitude? The $38 billion is ridiculous. The $100 billion to me is surprising. The $500 billion is realistic, but it's still two-thirds too short.
We have to remember the reaction to Paul Ryan's proposals. I mean, even among Republicans, even among sympathetic Republicans, people sort of patted him on the head and said, nice try, buddy. So right. The idea that, you know, we're talking about $100 billion or $38 billion or whatever it is pretty small potatoes. And I think, honestly, I'll be surprised if we even make it to 100.
Tara, tell me how this looks from the perspective of the Democrats. You have a bit of a revolt here amongst Republicans. You have the more libertarian, more fiscally conservative Tea Party Republicans in the House who are basically saying to John Boehner, the Republican leadership, not so fast. $38 billion's a joke. Get it up to $100 billion or more. Go after the Defense Department. Raise the age of eligibility for Social Security. Be serious about it. What do Democrats think when they see this? Do they like the division? Do they think this is a facade?
Well, I think this is not very surprising to Democrats, because remember, John Boehner put forth a plan initially that actually increased the deficit. He said this was his roadmap. He put it forth after Paul Ryan's plan, which was very austere, and said this is what we want to do, this is our plan, and it increased the deficit. So I think the problem here is that Republicans are learning that being an armchair quarterback is easy, but being the quarterback is hard. So they have to build consensus within their own party, that is hard, because some of the things that they want to cut are things that are popular with the American people.
Let's just say that John Boehner and the Republican leadership and the rank and file accept what Senator Rand Paul has proposed, a $500 billion cut. That still means the president has to borrow $1 trillion. What will the Democrats do with a budget like that? Would they vote against it? Or do they see the wisdom of cutting?
I think it depends on what the cuts are. Here's what the Democrats have always said consistently. We understand in the long term, the deficit has to be brought under control. In the short term, we need to make sure that we're still on the path of not jeopardizing the fragile economic recovery.
You and I talk about this almost every day on Varney & Company and on your show with Lori Rothman. Mm-hmm. Is this a hopeless Ponzi scheme, borrow, spend, borrow, spend, borrow, spend? Or will someone as youthful as you, Chris Cotter, live to see the day when budgets are balanced and debt is paid?
This was a big part of the recent election. You have 87 freshman Republican GOP members in the House.
Right.
And everybody elected them because they said, hey, we're tired of the way things have been done. You 87 freshmen, you're going to do things differently. And then you have Paul Ryan saying, look, these freshmen, they don't understand the intricacies and the difficulty of the math in doing this budget. Well, that's the benefit of having them in there, because they haven't had to deal with all the BS over the years, and they're not tied into all the BS. Just make the cuts.
All right, Chris, I'm 100% with you. I want to switch gears, Catherine. I'm going to come to you. Last month, President Obama said, it's a surprise, it was a Nixon goes to China moment, he would tackle the budget buster sacred cow of Social Security. That was last month. Now he's backpedaling and says we won't have any Social Security reforms in his proposed budget that he's going to release next week. Why? Because he says reforms may be unpopular and because concerns about Republicans' willingness to cooperate. But are these good enough excuses for avoiding the reforms? Stated differently, Catherine Mangu Ward, isn't the president elected to make tough decisions? And why should he not do the right thing just because it's unpopular? Or am I living in Never Never Land when I say that?
You know, I think we have a case where the White House and the congressional Republicans are like a couple of kids looking at, you know, a dead cat, and they have a stick, and each of them is saying, no, you poke it first. No, you poke it first. They're acting like children. It's going to continue to be a case where nobody wants to make the hard call. Nobody wants to be the guy who comes out first and says, you know, we got to make cuts. And if you're not going to do that as president of the United States, it's hard to know who we should be expecting to actually bite the bullet.
Is this really the third rail? Will no president of either party or any ideology shrink the entitlement called Social Security under any circumstances?
I think President Obama understands that we need to fix Social Security. I think that what he wants to do is try to keep it as whole as possible, because look at the reality. It was implemented in 1935. Since then, poverty rates amongst the elderly have fallen precipitously. That actually helped the overall economy because it made sure there were more people who were middle class and working and had money coming in. So that helps the economy.
Isn't this the only Ponzi scheme on the planet bigger than Bernie Madoff's?
And you know what's interesting, in the Wall Street Journal, that a White House spokeswoman, Amy Brundage, was quoted as saying, "The president believes we should strengthen the program without putting at risk current retirees or slashing benefits for future generations, which means taxing us more now."
Catherine,
that's all it means.
Catherine, what's wrong with this? The people that have put into it, they receive it. The people already receiving it, they receive it. The people that are midway through their professional careers and have contributed to it, they get that money back. And people that are starting out, they're told it's voluntary. You want to give your money to the federal government and let them save it and give it back to you when you're 65 or 70? That's your choice. You want to invest the money on your own? That's your choice, too. What do you say?
Unfortunately, I think what's going to happen instead is we're all going to be told it's not voluntary, and then people my age aren't going to get a payout. So it's, you know, the idea that we might be given the option is sort of charming and appealing, but I think rather unlikely.
30 seconds,
to
Chris.
To Catherine's point, if somebody told me today, look, Chris, you're 41, I admit it, I'm 41, for your entire working life, you've paid into Social Security. If you get the option of stopping now and we do away with Social Security
what
forever,
would you,
you
do?
Can invest your own money, I would say you can take every penny I've put into it from the day I started working until now and keep it. Just don't take another penny from
it. You know you're in the minority on that.
I know. Be.
Most Americans.
Catherine Mangu-Ward, Chris Cotter, Tara Dalle-Dell, thank you very much for joining us. Have a great weekend.